Jesus, and thankful for his 20 years of ministry now, and the last almost dozen years that I've known you. I've just been thankful for the way that you organize camp, and I've seen camp done a lot of different ways, and thankful for the ministry up there. And my family and I have benefited and continue to benefit. I have a couple of daughters that are very, very excited for this summer. So thankful for the ministry and looking forward to this new gym building and what God will continue to do through that. So come and share with us and minister the word.
All right. Thank you so much. Good to be here at Calvary Baptist Church. One of the things that I love to do is help people see camp in a different way. And I have a video we actually made last year, but it kind of gives an overview of a lot of the things that happen. We ready to go now? All right. There you go. I can't wait to see what God's going to do this summer. 2020, we got to have camp. And there we go. I'll try that again. 2021, we are having camp. And excited about that. We are, you know, God can always close something, can He? If He chooses. But we are planning on moving forward, having a great summer, excited about seeing what God's going to do. So, if you were here during Sunday school, I kind of alluded to this, but the young man up on the second from the left, his name is Grant Strachey. He is from the church in Manning. I think it's I can't remember the name of the little town he's from. But he came up to camp for the year after he graduated, and he actually asked me for a special dispensation. He said, can I bring my two friends? They're entering ninth grade, so that's a four-year difference. But normally we make them go to junior high, but he said, this is my last year. I don't even know that they would come to camp, but I really want them to come. I'd love for them to be there for my last year. And so Grant came up, and those two young men, the two to his right, they believed in Christ during that summer. And it's pretty cool. And so the story always keeps going. And you know Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Well, I hope this isn't the rest of the story, but this is how the story continues. So Duratio, is that how you say that? Grant is, this fall, he's out combining. And he's actually in the field combining his neighbor's land. He's going against the grain. He's going against everything that's laying down. So it's really, really slow going, if you know what I mean. And so I'm stopping over to see the Strachey's. His sister's actually doing an internship, so I'm meeting Dad and talking to him. You need to go out and see Grant. It's like, sure. I didn't realize his combine's not air-conditioned. And when you're combining the Duratio going the opposite way, it's really slow. And so I was probably wearing something nice like this. I was making some donor visits and stuff, and so it was a sweat box, but I spent a great hour. It was great because I got to talk to Grant and hear a little bit more of the story. So this guy, he's graduated from high school. He's all about farming. He's not about getting in front of people. He's not in front about doing any of this stuff. But I said, Grant, tell me a little bit as we're going really slow and all this. Tell me about what's happened since those two young men believed in Christ at camp. Because they might have come to youth group a little bit, but moms and dads, they're not believers in Christ. And so he started to tell me a little bit about the story. So Grant actually has graduated, and these two young men actually became instigators sounds like a bad word, but they were the ones who were behind seeing this little church begin a youth ministry that was just began to explode. There was like three kids who came, those three boys came to camp that summer. And as the story goes, Grant began to share a little bit about how God was working, and now they're seeing 20, 25 kids come to youth group. So this is this winter. Now last year, or the last time they came to a winter retreat, it was Grant and his two friends. They came again. This summer, or this winter, excuse me, they had 23 campers and four counselors who came. That's pretty cool. And so Emily, our intern, she's sending out this WhatsApp, this texting thing to our staff. Here are the 10 people that we need to be praying for. And so the gospel is going forward to 10 young people who don't know Christ. Is the story over? Absolutely not. And so it's just continuing on. So I'm telling you that story because we limit God so much. We can't do this because of this and this, and we have these reasons and we have this and this. We limit God so much, don't we? You just shared the gospel for the first time, and saw your daughter come to Christ, praise the Lord, and you're sharing the gospel with your sister, and we limit God. And I am just so excited to see how God has used the camp, and you can tell this story time and time and time again. And sometimes it's big stories like this, sometimes it's just one life that was changed. And it's worth it. So excited to see how God just keeps working at camp. And we talked a little bit about our camp staff. I have one staff member that I still need to hire for the summer. It's an important position. It's our lead cook. We have Lene Callison, who's our head cook, but then we have a college-age student who's our lead cook. Still need to hire that. Everybody else is hired, which is almost a record in March. And so you can pray if you'd like food that we can hire that last cook, all right? But very excited about the staff that God is giving us. We do have part-time applications. You must be 14 to work in the state of Iowa. Not at home. You can be younger than that and work, believe me. But we're excited about that. So internships at Iowa Regular Baptist Camp has been a lot of fun. And I tell you that story. The guy up in the top left, his name is Eric Locker. He actually worked and did an internship over the course of 3 years with his wife, Ellen. Ellen Odell, some of you know that name. He's now the director at the campground in Alaska, Higher Ground Baptist Youth Camp, I believe, or something like that. But God's gifted him in the area of wildlife and all those things, a wonderful fit. But part of the reason the camp was looking at them is because they loved the fact of their philosophy, which was to assist the local church. There's a lot of camps out there that are really good. And maybe their focus is just a little different. I don't trash or bash any other camp. That's not the point. But they love the fact that they really wanted to see the camp help churches to grow and disciple. And it's been so much fun to see this young couple. And so this is actually an older picture, but look at Willie on the bottom left, okay? That's kind of basically like what he always does. But Willie and Lindy Felderman actually are coming on staff in May. So on the bottom right, Jason Reynolds. Many of you know Jason. He's been at the camp. He started April 1st, which is a fitting day for Jason, 10 years ago. He is now preaching today at Clear Lake Regular Baptist Church. He's their pastor. And so this actually was a process that's been going on since November. He wrapped up his ministry officially end of February, helped run our sportsman's adventure. So thankful for Jason and Amy and how God's led them. I'm so excited because half our staff actually attends that church. And so very excited for the church at Clear Lake, the community of Clear Lake. Jason is so passionate about the gospel. And God has grown him to the point where God directed. It's exciting. What makes it really cool is Willie actually did an internship with us, actually worked on Jason's staff for 2 summers as the activity guy. And so basically, it's like a handoff. And I'm really excited about that. Willie and Lindy are, they're just so much fun, and they just have more energy than me. And I'm excited about that. Is anybody else there? All right, I thought there might be a couple of you. But do pray for Willie and Lindy. They're out traveling around for Faith Baptist Bible College. They're wrapping up their time, doing a really good job promoting. As he's on the road, you'll want to actually have him come speak. He's doing a great job, but he just does such a good job of connecting. But as he's out there, the feedback that's coming back to the School of Faith is, this is the best couple you've ever sent us. We love them. And so we're excited about Willie and Lindy joining our staff and the opportunity to be able to serve together. You talked a little bit about the rock, and it is rolling. It is moving. It just keeps coming and going forward. We're thankful, thankful for the opportunity to, even during the year of COVID, for our board to say, let's go. And the people who had already donated money toward this say, what are you waiting for? Let's go. We're still behind this. It was in some ways a step of faith, but I'm so glad because it's totally a God thing. Don't you love being part of a God thing? It's not like a Phil thing. I don't want this to be a Phil thing because, wow, during this last year, to see God just blow us away in ways that we never expected. And we're so grateful to see how he's done that. I showed a couple pictures. This is actually things that were taken yesterday. And God supplies in different kinds of ways. Like, you see the insulation that is there, that foam insulation? We're getting that at a price that is like, you can't put up the batting for that. It's just because of people that are tied into camp, grew up at the camp and different things. Our electrical work, sit down, well, you're already sitting, so that's good. But we have a man who has a business who is supplying all of the labor and all of the electrical supplies at cost. Isn't that amazing? We're going to save $90,000. And as we put out the price there, that's built into it because he's got 40 some employees. Probably will send up crews 15 at a time just to knock this baby out. He's already done it in some other projects we have. That is just some of the ways that God just blows me away. We got a plumber from Kansas, of all places. Their youth group comes up with 40 kids. And he just has a heart for this. And so Ben Franklin Plumbing from Derby, Kansas, comes up and helps. We work alongside of him, but he supplies the expertise and donates all of his time. And helps us out tremendously. And so there's this story after story of God's provision. And we have some neat opportunities for volunteer work over these next months. Thank you for praying for this process. This was probably taken a week or two ago. But we also have lots of opportunities. You can see us on the right. I think, Scott, you were asking about community. Probably almost every Friday we feed Dean Snyder workers. They get off usually a little bit earlier on Friday. They come in, they eat, go back out to work and wrap up their day. But it's been pretty cool. You know, there's probably been words said on the work site that we don't say in the office, okay? You know what I mean? And my wife the other day, she's like, wow, I've not heard that before. As she's out walking the dog or whatever. It's like, you know what? This is an opportunity for us to have a testimony. And when we sit down, you know, I get a few, excuse my French and whatever. This is an opportunity for us to rub shoulders with people. And they start asking about So what do you do all? They see all these campers come all winter long. What do you do with all those kids? And we start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying that we'll see some of these laborers come to Christ. And so I'm really thrilled about the process of how God has used this. I do have a short video. It's actually a little bit of a walkthrough. And my mouth was actually frozen as I was talking. So hopefully you can understand me. And there's a few little noises in the background as well.
Welcome to The Rock. We love the opportunity that we are having to,
you might have to turn that up a
and minister to young people and families, not just during the winter, which we have right now, but also during the summer. The Rock is going to allow us to do just that. I want to say a huge thank you to your church for considering giving a gift that is going to help us move forward with this project. So thank you so much. All right, it is February and it is cold out, and I would love to give you a little bit of a walking tour so you can see the progress in The Rock. In one more month, our goal is to have this building enclosed, and so let's take a little bit of a walk. Right here is the entry into the building. As you come in, over to my left, right over here, is the foyer. And there's been a lot of sitting area and opportunity for great place for discipleship and conversation for counselors, even for families as they're sitting around. Also back in this area, you'll see a kitchen. There'll also be some restrooms and that type of thing. Right off of the main lobby, we actually have a game room, which will be a great place for fellowship, lots of fun, and that type of thing. And it goes all the way back in here, so a great spot to be able to have a lot of fun for our campers, both during retreat season and throughout the year. So really excited about that. And as we follow in, we'll actually walk through the wall. This is the gymnasium. Two full courts, which allows us to do not just basketball and volleyball, but it'll also allow us to do all kinds of games and activities all year long during the rain of the summer, but also during the winter times and even inclement weather. And one of the things that's pretty cool is back over in the southeast corner, we have a 26-foot climbing wall that will be over in this section over here. And really excited to see how we're going to be able to use that literally all year long. And so your giving to The Rock has made a huge, huge difference. So thank you so much. Next, let's go check out the classroom spaces. This is probably one of the things I'm most excited about. Welcome to the nursery at IRBC. Lots of families are absolutely so excited about this space right here. We average between 12 and 15 babies during a week of family camp. This is going to be well-used space. As we walk through this wall right here, it actually goes into two separate classrooms and have a movable wall in between. But during our summer, our family camps we'll use for our twos and threes, fours and fives. And then during our retreat season, it actually house up to like 70 to 80 people for open classroom. So really excited about the teaching space that we're going to have. And what's even more exciting, running the whole length of this space is upstairs there'll be classrooms where we can have 120 people very easily to be able to teach God's Word, whether it's during a youth or family camps or our springboard for our summer camps or our retreats. We're really excited, not just for the gym space, which is going to be amazing, but also the opportunity to have space that we can use to teach God's Word all year long. So thank you so much for your generosity and your prayers as we move forward on The Rock.
Standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. As I wrap up, start off, This is a huge, huge endeavor. $3.3 million. We started off with $1 million from an estate gift that gave us the push to go. And we're grateful. Right now, right about 400,000 is the need to finish off the giving side of it. Our prayer is by the end of the year to be able to do just that. Let me just say thank you so much again for the opportunity to be here, to share about that need. I'm really excited about the passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at today. It doesn't necessarily tie together, but is probably one of the verses that has had some of the greatest impact in our family's life. My wife retired after 23 years of homeschooling. James, she said, I'm done. Silas, you're 9. We're not doing it anymore. She loved it. But for her, she was done. But one of the things with our first 4 children that I came home one day and my wife said, Phil, we have a verse that we're working on together. We need to memorize this. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. That was a long time ago. It's probably 3 years into homeschooling or something like that. But that is the passage that we're going to look at today. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Let's say that together. I know you like to memorize, so let's say that together. By the end, I think we're all going to have this verse, okay? So, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And so, Proverbs 25:11. Thank you. And so, make sure you get that in there. This fall, I was going to be speaking and at Faith, and I was thinking about what we're going to be doing. Silas and I, every day in the morning, since he's we're not empty nesters, everybody else is gone. It's me and Silas every morning. It's been actually really cool. So the month of September, we're going through Proverbs, a proverb a day. And so as we did that, there's a reoccurring theme. It's talking about the words, the mouth, and how we use them. And as I came up, I was going to actually be speaking at Faith and at Faith Baptist Bible College. And it's like this is a theme that really was resonating with me and the need that we have to be able to have a word that is fitly spoken. It's like it's an amazing, it's a beautiful thing. It's something that you put up and display. And so, as I was going through this, it was interesting because the day before I spoke, I had the best illustration. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better illustration. I opened up my sermon or my message with the, can you think of a recent event where this verse would have been really helpful? The day before was the first presidential debate. Do you remember that? Maybe you didn't watch it or listen, and you probably are just fine if you didn't. But let's just say it wasn't an example of how to have a word that is fitly spoken. It doesn't really matter which side of the aisle you're looking for or cheering for or disgruntled with or whatever. But when I put that up, can you think of a time recently where our country could have used this? Everybody knew exactly what I was talking about. The words that we use are so powerful, but they can also be so destructive. Today you emphasize the word truth, I think in Ephesians 4, is that right? I believe. But what an important thing it is that our words are truth. And we want these words to actually bring life and not bring destruction. As you're thinking through the words that you use, James chapter 3, we'll hit on that in just a second. But words can be used for blessing and they can be used for cursing. They can be used to bring glory to God and unfortunately they can bring our words, if we're a believer in Christ, actually can taint the testimony of our great God. And so that's an important thing for us to just consider and realize how important they are. One of the things that I've noticed in recent days is we have become so intent on winning an argument that we don't really listen. How many men are hard of hearing? Wives, how many husbands do we have that are hard? Okay. I kind of fall in that boat. But we got this going, that's good. But let me tell you, there's a bigger problem than being hard of hearing. And that's hard of listening. We go through life, and I'm not listening to what is being said. I'm thinking, what can I do to prove my point? And what can I do to win this argument? Nobody's really listening anymore. And the truth really is not always relevant in today's conversations. Have you noticed that? And it literally doesn't matter which side of the aisle, if you're talking politics or whatever, it doesn't really matter. We just want to win an argument. And somebody on the other side of what we might be thinking, if we actually agreed with them, we can't actually say that. Why? I'm not exactly sure, but we become hard of listening. And I think as we go through today, it's important that we understand that our words do matter, but also we need to be ready to listen to others. As we go forward, I'm going to skip down through this just a little bit. James chapter 3. This is my view of the pool. I think it was this fall. I was sitting around by the campfire. And then this on the right is senior high camp. Now, that's a big difference. That's about 35 feet high. Dave Callison has part pyromaniac in his blood, I do believe. But there's a big difference. Now, you don't see is Peter, he actually has a fire hose, and we actually call the fire department and let them know, here's what's up. They actually come and watch it sometimes with us. But at senior high camp, that's a blast. Both of these fires actually are under control. One of them, it feels really hot, believe me. It might even feel like it's out of control. I have a cousin who actually, and probably about four cousins who've actually been part of helping out with the wildfires from year to year, especially out in the Montana area. They've actually had one of their cabins burn up. So, I mean, they have something. They understand the danger of a wildfire. And a fire can be so amazing. Don't you like roasting a hot dog over a fire? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Marshmallows? S'mores? Exactly. Maybe we'll have... Yeah, I love cooking over a fire. That's awesome when it's under control. But all of a sudden, when it's out of control, it brings so much destruction. Have you noticed that in today's world? Well, it's not just today's world. It's been going on since forever. And so I'm so thankful for that. But a fire rightly used is an amazing thing. That is pitch black out unless you have a fire. You can see the whole side of Snake Hill and our senior high campers. So let me move on for sake of time. There we go. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and a setting of silver. There's a couple things that I think are really important as we think about a word that is fitly spoken. It involves several things that are right. And so some of this I borrowed from somebody else. I've read so many different people on this, and some of them I kind of interjected my own. But I think there's some things that are really important as we think about the right. First of all, is it right timing? Is it the right time to address it, to talk to them? Are they willing to hear and to listen? We can bring out the gospel, for instance, and it might not be the proper time. They're not ready to listen. They're not ready to hear. It might not be the right setting, but also a right heart or a right motive. As you think about that, am I desiring to win a brother, to win a sister not just win an argument. We can win arguments and lose, can't we? Have you ever done that? Yeah, I won. No, I didn't. I didn't win. I lost. I lost a brother. I lost a sister. My wife. I've not lost my wife, but I've had a time or two where I think I won the argument, but I did not win. You know what I mean? And I had to go back and to, even if I was right, who cares? I wronged my sister, who was my wife. I wronged a brother or sister, and that's a bad thing. And so even if we're proving a point, if our motive is wrong, then we've lost. Not only that, but the right words. Are they salty in a good sense? I've heard you the word used salty in a wrong sense more recently, but we'll talk about that in Colossians 4 in just a second. But using the right words. Am I using words that are inflammatory? Am I using words that are full of flattery? Am I using words that are untrue? Maybe they're mostly true. There's a lot of mostly true out there, but there's a lot of stuff that's just not accurate. And we spout it off, and we actually, it doesn't really matter because that's yesterday's news, right? And we just move on. That's not the way God works, is it? And so the right words, if we do that, we're going to see the right results. I moved in 20 years ago to our home at the camp. It's a parsonage, I guess you'd call it. And my wife painted our walls canary yellow, which actually looked really awesome the way she decorated it and everything. But after 20 years and 5 children, canary yellow might not look like the original painting, okay? And she's like, I mean, I thought it was great, but I'm not the one who matters in that conversation. And as we went through it, she's like, I think we really need to paint and do something different. And I don't even remember the name of the color. I am colorblind. I don't. You show me orange and green, and I couldn't tell the difference. They look the same. So it doesn't. But we started going through this process of decorating the dining room, which leads into the kitchen, and then of course you got the next room over is the living room, and so we had to work through all of that. And I didn't understand it all, and you know I was taught you'd never paint wood and things like that from my dad, and we painted the wainscot or whatever, the wood on the bottom, and we got all done. I was like, Barb, this is beautiful. This is so awesome. I mean, it was a lot of work, but when we got done, it's like, even I could tell it made a big difference. Okay? Why do I bring up all that? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the setting of silver. These are actually apples from our house. I was going to bring some apples. I forgot to bring them. Sorry about that. But when you put something, it's something that can be looked at. And so when people walk in, they're like, ooh, this is nice. This is refreshing, Barb. It looks so awesome. So a word that is fitly spoken is actually something that it's like you're able to say, that is good. That is helpful. It doesn't bring hurt, it brings health. It brings life, right? That's what a word that is fitly spoken does. And it brings a right result. And it brings healing, it brings unity. It's worthy of being displayed. A side note, I have a fifth one, it would be like, go in between these. I might be the right person. We need to have the right person sometimes. I mentioned, I won't go into the story, but my son James, we had some bumps in the road over this last end of 2019. And as we began the process, I actually was driving him back to you and I. And it was a hard time, hard conversations. And I said, James, this might sound weird to some of you parents, but I said, James, I don't think I can help you right now. What do you mean? James, you already have heard everything I have to say. I think you need another voice. You need somebody else. And so we looked at a couple different options. And I said, there's this college ministry which has really good people in it and et cetera. And I think it could be really good and be very helpful. There's also a man I know, Tom Ladd. He's a pastor at Walnut Ridge. He actually just turned 65, so he's an older guy. He was an athlete, so he kind of understands athletes and et cetera. We kind of walked through it, and he says, I think I want to talk to Tom. Said, here you go. He called him up, set up an appointment, and he began a process of discipleship over the next weeks, the next months. And COVID hit. Everything seemed to shut down. But he continued that process even through that. And eventually, if you were here in Sunday school, it led to James and Sydney being married in May. Tom and his wife Chris were doing the discipleship and the counseling through that time. What a cool thing. He'd heard my voice. He needed, in that situation, it wasn't like it was combative at all, but he needed somebody else. He needed a disciple. Last night, they were at our house. It's an hour and a half from our house to Waterloo. They got up so they could be at their church at Walnut Ridge today. That was so cool for me because they love the pastor and his wife. They build into them. They're listening. And sometimes it is that right person. I'll continue to move on here quickly. Wise counsel, my son, listen. It says 25 times in the Proverbs, it says, my son, listen. My son, listen. Son, listen. You get it, right? It says that 25 times. So maybe we should listen. And so my son, listen. It says it 25 times. There's times for reproof. In Proverbs 27, it says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful of the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Iron sharpens iron. What an awesome thing to be reproved. And you're like, what? Somebody who loves you enough to come to you and to bring correction into your life. What an awesome thing that can be. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are what? Spiritual. Restore such a one. Bring restoration. And that's what is so cool about that process and words that are bringing life. It seems like it's confrontational, and there's times it is, but it brings life. It's not to bring destruction and put somebody in their place. It also brings words of encouragement. A word fitly spoken in Ephesians 4, if you read through that, there's a lot of negatives, but there's also, it brings life. It's love and brings edification and building up the body. And it brings along that line, it shows forgiveness. As you look at verse 30. And so, continuing on, and I jotted down Marvina's name. I love Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Marvina, let me read these verses for you. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. That's being a testimony, living a life, making the best use of your time. That's important. Verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Paul is praying for them, and he's also praying for himself, that they can have open doors to share the gospel. I love that. A word fitly spoken. It's always being ready, 1 Peter 3:15, or I think this is what it is, always be ready to share about the hope that's in you. always being ready to share. Because it's like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. Sometimes they're ready, sometimes they're not. But that's really up to the Holy Spirit to decide, isn't it? And so I love that verse. Paul, in his writings, he brings about comfort time and time and time again. And then even a little bit of joy and humor. And I think there's I can probably pick out the people in the congregation who that is. But you can just bring about the right kind of humor and time. Not the inside jokes, but something that just brings some levity to bring about, to help somebody be more comfortable, or to help them to see that that God is good in all of this, in even the hard times. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I don't want to be that one who crushes spirits. I've done that too many times. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the one who brings about healing. So, the Bible says a lot about words. We just hit the tip of the iceberg. But a word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. This is the second time I've used this message. I spoke at Clear Lake, and we had a potluck afterwards, and it was interesting to watch the conversation. Oh, I can't say that. You know, they had a little bit of fun with this. And so maybe even as you're going back home, as you're thinking about how we use our words, are they helpful, or are they bringing healing, or are they bringing hurt? It doesn't matter your age. God wants you to use your words to bring Him glory through how we say things and what we say. I believe that God wants to use you in this community to bring glory to Himself, and also that they might see the love of Jesus Christ. Let me pray with you, and I'll turn it over. Father, what a privilege it is to be able to serve You, a risen Savior, Your Son, a risen Savior. We thank You so much that You have given us Your good and holy Word. We thank You that You have given us opportunity to share about Your Son, Jesus Christ. May our lips be seasoned with salt so that we might be able to share the gospel clearly. May our words bring about healing and help. And ultimately, may they be something that is worthy to be displayed, because it's fitting. It's right in its time. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.